Is there anything more thrilling than the birth of a child? We're filled with such conflicting emotions. There is a sense of exhilaration, of a new life that is being born into the world. But there's also a sense of apprehension of, oh Lord, am I ready for this? What have you called us into? How can we be parents to this life that you have bestowed upon us? Well, here on this day that we've come to know as Father's Day, we're going to be thinking about the birth of a child, particularly thinking about the birth of John the Baptist that we celebrate on June the 24th. Just 3 days before we celebrate the birth of yet another figure in the church, the birth of Doug Willoughby on the 27th. So we'll be thinking of lots of births today, but particularly the one of John the Baptist. Let me set the context for today's gospel passage. You know the story, but let me remind you. Zechariah, the father, was a priest. One of many priests, actually. And from time to time, it would fall upon him to be the one to go into the temple and offer the ministries of the priest in the temple of God. Well, it was fairly routine, and nobody expected very much to happen. It had been over 400 years since the last movement of God. There had been no prophet speak, no word of the Lord, nothing for 400 years. If we move that into our time frame, that would be putting us back to the 1600s. That was the time Shakespeare was just finishing writing Romeo and Juliet, and the Plymouth, the Mayflower sent out with pilgrims. 400 years since God had last spoken. It would be perhaps understandable that Zechariah did not have a whole lot of expectation when he went into the temple to worship that day. While he was alone in the temple, a messenger came and said, "Hey, Zechariah, have I got an offer for you?" I can imagine Zechariah saying, yeah. Thanks, I know you've got an offer for me, but I've already had my ducts cleaned and I don't need any duct cleaning today. Thank you so much, I appreciate your call. Bye for now. Undaunted, the angel continued and said, "Zechariah, you and your wife Elizabeth are going to have a child." And he went on to say, "And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous to make ready a people for the Lord." Now Zechariah was really sure that somebody had dialed a wrong number and that this was not intended for him. Scripture doesn't tell us exactly how old they were, but it does tell us they were old, and they were past childbearing years. And so Zechariah scoffed and said, "I don't think so. I think you've made a mistake. You better go back and check again." And it was a result of that that the angel said, "Well, you know what, Zechariah? I did get the message right. You didn't believe it. And so you will not be able to speak until all of this comes to pass." You see, there had to be a right time for everything, and this was the right time. If you haven't heard it, go back and listen to Doug's great sermon from last week on the right time of the coming of Christ and everything that had to be in place first. And this was that right time. And so for Zechariah, he had to come to terms with where he was in the midst of all of this. And so now fast forward 9 months to the birth of the child. It was actually 8 days after the birth at the circumcision. They were not involved in social distancing, and so they would have a party, and everybody would come together, and they would all ooh and ah about this new child, and they would point and say, "Oh, look at these tiny fingers. He's going to be a tailor." And somebody else would say, "No, no, who could live on the tailor? Tailor, schmailer, he's going to be a surgeon." And if he's going to be a surgeon, he might as well be a brain surgeon. He's going to be special, this boy. And so they said, "Little Zeke, I pronounce over you that you are going to be special." And Elizabeth quietly interjects and says, "Actually, his name is John." Such a commotion develops. And everybody says, "John, what are you talking about? This is Zechariah's kid. He's going to be little Zeke. He's going to be Zeke Jr. You can't call him John. Surely you must have more sense than this." And so they turn over to Zechariah. Remember, Zechariah has not spoken for over 9 months. And they look at him and he gets a writing tablet and he says, "His name is John." Now, all the people wondered about Zechariah's answer. Because what is the meaning of the name John? Well, it means God is gracious. Here in a time when God had not spoken for 400 years, and they look at each other and say, "God is gracious? Why would you name your kid God is gracious? What's God done for us lately?" Well, it was at that moment that Zechariah stands. The first words out of his mouth, he spoke over the child, and he said, "And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people for the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace." With that, Zechariah sat down. There was an awestruck hush that filled the room, where even, I suspect, Zechariah would say to himself, "Where did that come from? I was not expecting that. I did not have a speech prepared," but there was just something overwhelming that gave a word. And everyone in that room knew those were not Zechariah's words. That was the word of God. That was what we might call prophetic. Perhaps Elizabeth was the first one to recognize that sense of the prophetic, because it was some months earlier that she had a meeting with Elizabeth, with Mary, the mother of Jesus. And as soon as Elizabeth met Mary, Elizabeth said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is it so granted me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the voice of your greeting came to my ears, the babe in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believes that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." That's not your everyday greeting when a pregnant woman comes to speak to you. So, excuse me, Elizabeth was also familiar with the fact that sometimes God will speak a word of the prophetic. I make a distinction, I guess, in the prophetic that sometimes it is a foretelling and sometimes it is a forthtelling. Foretelling is when God is going to let us know the things that will happen in advance so that when they happen, we will not be taken by surprise and we will know that God is still here in the midst of all of this because he has prepared us. Forthtelling is the prophetic in which God will speak a word of life, a word of hope, a word of encouragement to say, I am here in the midst. And so when Zechariah spoke over his child, it was both a forthtelling of speaking of who this child is and a foretelling of the ministry that was to become. So, what does all this have to do with us here in 2020, so many years later? Well, let me tell you, I see many lessons in here that I think are appropriate for us. The first lesson is we must be vigilant in continuing to look for what God is doing in the right here and in the right now. In Zechariah's time, it had been 400 years since God had spoken. Fortunately, in our time, it has not been that long. I think each of us will have been able to experience in our lifetime dramatic movements of God where the presence of God has been so strong that people can't help but just fall to the floor in the face of an almighty God. It hasn't been that long since God has spoken. But it's not always dramatic. It's not always angelic voices. It's not always thunder clouds. Sometimes it is that still small voice within us. But we need to be able to train ourselves to hear that voice of God when God speaks. One of my passions is that long ago I was involved with what's known as amateur radio or ham radio. And I learned a lot about receivers. Receivers are very interesting, and they have characteristics that make a receiver useful. The first thing is selectivity. Selectivity, when you're listening, is the ability to hear only one signal at a time. You may remember, back in the days of television on rabbit ears, where you might have two signals that are coming in from stations that their signals are nearby, and you'll be watching Bonanza, and in the middle of that, in will come Simon Templar the Saint, and we'll have one flopped over on the other. Well, that's because the selectivity is not good. We want to be able to be selective and only hear that one voice. The other thing a receiver needs to have is what's known as sensitivity. Sensitivity is to be able to hear that very quiet voice that's often referred to as being down in the mud. Down in there somewhere, there is this very, very quiet signal. And a receiver that has sensitivity will be able to zero in and amplify and hear that very small voice that is being covered over by all of the other noise. Well, I maintain our spiritual journey is like that. You know, I'm a psychotherapist, and I will tell you, we all hear voices. Get over it. We all hear voices. So don't worry about it if you hear voices. But if you do hear voices, we want to know which ones to listen to. That's where our receiver comes in. Every time I have any kind of big decision that I need to make in my life, I will hear at least five conflicting voices in my head. Those that will tell me it's great, go for it. Those that will tell me it's stupid, don't do it. You will make the biggest mistake. I hear lots of voices. But I need to be able to discern which of those voices is a word of God for me and is a word for now. And so I need a receiver that has selectivity to be able to filter out all the ones that I'm not wanting to listen to, and selectivity, which says I want to be able to amplify the one that's being a little bit quiet. Well, I think we all have the ability to hear that voice of God, but we all don't either recognize it or exercise it. In my ministry of over 40 years in the Anglican Church, I have been blessed by many people that have come to me and said, Paul, I believe I have a word of God that I want to share with you. Now, I will say many of those have been an absolute blessing to me. Some of them, not so much. So I have to listen and say, where is God speaking in the midst of all this? And where is the human vessel speaking that might be a little bit tainted? But yet I know that these people have been listening intently for the voice of God. And when they hear it, they have the courage and the confidence to be able to proclaim it. And when they do proclaim it, it brings a blessing. My word for each of us is, I want us to be listening for that voice of God. And I will tell you right off the bat, some days we will get it right, and some days we will not. And that's okay. Every time every preacher preaches, every time I preach, I stand and listen for what is the voice of God for today. Sometimes preachers will get it, sometimes preachers will not. And sometimes for each of us, we will hear that word of God and know this is not coming from me. Just like when Zechariah was speaking over that child, he knew that it was not his words that he was speaking. So too, there will be words that we will be given that we know are coming from God. My word is, listen for it. Find somebody that you trust and be able to speak that out, and to be able to say, this is what I think God is saying to me. Do you agree? And see if we can get some assurance from others as well. Zechariah stood up in front of all of his friends and family and gave a word that was a blessing to them and continues to be read and to be a blessing in our generation as well. May you have the courage, the confidence, to be able to listen to that voice of God speaking to you and to be able to proclaim it and bring life to those who hear it. Amen.